Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 44. If you would like to follow along, this can be found in the Pew Bibles, beginning on page 27 in the New Testament. As we pray to hear God's word, let us pray. Holy God, our hope and strength, by the power of your Spirit, prepare the way in our hearts for the coming of your word, so that we may see the glorious signs of your promise fulfilled. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So will too be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Beloved of God, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
My Hebrew professor in seminary used to say that one of the most important theological questions we can ask is, what time is it? And the season of Advent reminds us every year to ask that question. And sometimes it's not as straightforward a question as it might seem. As we found out with the children here, what time is it? Some looked around the sanctuary, some looked at their clocks. There's different ways to answer, because there's different ways to understand that question. There are all sorts of ways to tell time, and also perhaps ways that time tells of us. We are surrounded. Especially, it seems like more and more as we carry our smartphones in our pockets and smartwatches and everything, we are surrounded by calendars and clocks and phones buzzing and beeping, alerting to upcoming appointments and the minutes and the hours, the days and the week, and even the years ticking by like, well, clockwork. There's a Greek word for this kind of time that sometimes shows up in the Bible. It's the word chronos. This is time as we normally think of it, and how it's how we often say we tell time, right? Everything is chronological, chronos, that linear flow of history, right? Neatly divided up into equal segments of seconds and minutes and hours and days and months and years, one after the other. A leads to B, leads to C, leads to D, and on down the line as time moves on chronologically. With each tick of the clock, we are that much further away from what happened yesterday or last year or 2,000 years ago. And so chronologically, this Advent, we are a year further away than we were last year, and certainly from that first Christmas. But time isn't always so neat and tidy as all that, is it? I think if you ask any kid, and they will tell you the truth, some minutes, some hours, some days, actually ask adults for that matter, right? Some days are longer than others. Anybody experience that? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And since we've entered the season, a short Christmas story from my life. When I was a kid, I knew full well that the night of Christmas Eve was not the same. It was not the same time-wise as other nights. It lasts far longer than other nighttimes, sometimes agonizingly slow, right? My parents we were good Presbyterians. We had strict rules about Christmas morning. No going downstairs until everyone, mom and dad especially included, until everyone was up, and no waking up mom and dad until at least 7 a.m. So me and my sisters, we would wake up early. Anybody here wake up early on Christmas morning? Anyone here wake up way too early ever? Yes, okay, good, yes. Yeah, I'm right there with you, right? We'd wake up early. Christmas is exciting. We couldn't sleep sometimes, right? It's so exciting. You can't sleep at all. And so you wake up maybe as early, we often did, as early as 3 or 4 in the morning. And so when that happened, my sisters, we would wake up. We would go knock on each other's doors to see if each other were awake. And if so, we would gather in one of our bedrooms and watch the clock. And Kronos would say, what does it matter? Each minute, each hour, it's the same as the minutes and the hours yesterday or the night before or the week before. It's all the same. A minute is a minute is a minute is a minute. To which my sisters and I on that night would say, lies. That is not true. Those minutes and those hours on that particular night, I don't care what your clocks and watches say, they were not the same as other nights. We lived them. We experienced them differently than other nights. And so as it happens, there is another word for time in the Greek language that also shows up in the Bible, and it's the word kairos. Kairos time is less about chronology and more about how we experience time, how we live in and live out the time we are given. And it's about what's required in that time because of that. The minutes and hours of Christmas Eve night are what they are, not because of what came the day before, but because of what's coming next. They are what they are, not because they flow out of the past, but because the future is flowing back into them. The future promise, the coming future, changes how we live in the present. Certainly, that was true for my sisters and I on Christmas Eve. And so kairos is much also more about whether the time is right for something. Or maybe a better word would be whether the time is ripe. Chronos time is how we like to tell time by looking, keeping track of our watches and calendars and things like that. But kairos time is actually much more about time telling us, time telling of us, maybe even time telling on us. And so here we are on this first Sunday of Advent. Christmas is on the horizon, and so who do we meet in our scripture? Not baby Jesus. Not even people waiting for baby Jesus. But these words that we read from Matthew's gospel, we are met with grown-up Jesus. Timelines are kind of flipped around here, aren't they? Because this is not even just grown-up Jesus, but this is just a few short chapters from the end of his earthly life, Jesus, that we meet. We begin nearer to the end than the beginning. These words of scripture we read aren't words about baby Jesus, but they are words from grown-up Jesus. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. But about that Kronos time, right? Well, no one knows. Who knows? This isn't about Kronos time. Jesus is talking about, this is about the time, the kind of time, not that we tell or that we keep track of, but the kind of time that tells or tells of or even tells on us. And so Jesus says something that's not really very Christmassy. You're not going to see this on the Hallmark Channel this time of year, I promise you that. Maybe you'll see it in a good disaster movie. Exactly. What? For as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. And if that weren't enough, Jesus goes on with something now even less like a Christmas movie and maybe much more like a sci-fi apocalyptic movie. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Just so we're clear here, in Jesus' imagery, the picture that he's painting, the goal here in this, two will be in the field, one will be taken, one left. The goal here is to be the ones who are left, not the ones who are taken away, right? There's no rapture theology here because these scenarios are for, as it Jesus begins by saying, for as the days of Noah, much like you wanted to be the ones left when the waters in Noah's day subsided, not the ones swept and taken away, right? And then a third picture, again, not at all like a Christmas movie, but maybe like something now out of an intense mystery or crime drama movie. But understand this, Jesus says, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Advent. We begin our year in the church in a posture of waiting and watching and preparing. But as we all know, waiting for Christmas is not just sitting idly by, simply letting the time pass by, right? No, there are preparations to be made. Who has started preparing for Christmas? Anybody this weekend? Yeah. All right, yeah, things in place to be decorated, yummy stuff to be baked, cards and letters to be mailed, invitations to be addressed. We already got one Christmas card. I'm not going to say who it was from, but props on you for getting those out. We got our Christmas card this weekend, right? Invitations to be addressed, presents to be bought and wrapped, travel plans to be nailed down, guest rooms to be cleaned out and cleaned up. It is not an idle waiting, but an expectant preparation. It's a get ready sort of waiting. Less about just biding your time for the final boarding call and much more about making sure we are living in a way that we don't miss Jesus when he shows up. Whether he shows up in ways big or small, cataclysmic or intimate. As we look back and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we do so not because babies are cute, though they are, and not just to be reminded that God shows up most powerfully in the ways that we least expect and sometimes find most disrupting, right? Though we do need that reminder, right? So by the way, right, the sound of babies and children rustling and restless in a sanctuary, in a place, and a time of worship is a joyous sound, if for no other reason that it reminds us of how our Lord chose to come to us. And we look back on baby Jesus. Again, not just to be struck by the awe and wonder yet again of God breaking into our world and our lives and indeed our very humanity, though we certainly should be struck with awe and wonder over that. But we also look back to help us look forward. We tell again and again that story of expectant waiting because in the kairos of God, yes, Christ has already come, and also, we still live in the not yet of waiting for Christ to show up. And so we begin with a time to wait. And we invite this time not just to count off the seconds and minutes and hours and days, but we invite this time not that so that we can tell the time, but we invite it to tell of us. Or even tell on us. Because the question that Jesus poses to us as we live in the already not yet of this kairos time of God's kingdom, so near in Christ and yet still to come. The question Jesus poses to us is how? How will you wait? How will we wait? If this time, and not just these few weeks of Advent, but the reason I love this season is that it is a picture of the life and the journey of faith. Life called to be lived in expectant longing and hopeful waiting. In Jesus' images here, preparation is not about counting down the chronos of time, the date or the time of the second coming or anything like that, but it's about asking the question, how have you lived out? How have we lived out the time? Not how do we tell the time between now and whenever that is, but what does this time tell of us? Jesus goes on immediately from this passage. As I said, it's towards the very end of Matthew. He goes on immediately from this passage. He does barely takes a breath, and he keeps on talking. And what follows, he has a few parables about watching and waiting, not passively, but expectantly. Parables about whether or not a servant is about his Lord's work while his Lord is away or not. Parables about bridesmaids keeping the light shining so they can recognize or not when the bridegroom shows up. About servants who take talents given to them by their Lord when he goes away and what they do with them in the meantime. Do they just bury them and bide their time? Or do they use them in hopeful expectation for the furtherance of their Lord's inheritance, living into its promise? And then all of that, again, Jesus barely takes a breath. And then all that flows from that, those words about Jesus, from Jesus about being ready and watching, how we watch and wait with expectation. And the culmination of living expectantly in the coming reign of Christ, the last teaching that flows out of this, the last teaching in Matthew, the last teaching of Jesus before he goes to the cross, the capstone, as Matthew tells it, the culmination of all of this, the life that is the discipleship and life lived faithfully in the meantime. Before he goes to the cross, the culmination of all that he has said in Matthew, and of how to be ready and watch and wait with expectation in all our meantimes, we end up at Matthew 25:31. Judgment of the nations. Come, inherit the kingdom, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And they will say, when did we do that? And he'll say, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Living into and living out the Kairos time Jesus calls us into and that Jesus brings about is living expectantly that the reign of Christ and all the things of it is always nearer than we might think. And it might very well be showing up right under our nose. And if we could expect to see it, if we would learn to see it, we might actually see it taking root and growing even here and even now. And so how do we expect to see it? By expectantly living into it. Living expectantly into the things and the promise of God's kingdom and what God's kingdom is like, the place where no one is hungry, thirsty, where the naked are clothed, imprisoned and oppressed or set free. Living expectantly into the things and the promise of God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And the more we do that, the more I suspect we will learn to see God's reign sneaking in and breaking in all around us until that day when it has truly come and is truly and fully done on earth as it is in heaven. I have a confession to make. Before we moved to Rhode Island, Rhode Island was not on our radar. I'm not sure I ever gave Rhode Island a thought. I know. I said it was a confession. Right? I certainly did not notice Rhode Island. I didn't. But in the 8 years that we've lived here, we are constantly surprised at how often we see and hear references to Rhode Island and even things that are unique to Rhode Island popping up on popular culture, references in TV shows and music. There was a favorite band of mine that had a song that I only recently re-listened to and went, oh, he's talking about being in Providence. I'd never noticed that before. It was there. But we just didn't notice it. And so we never saw it. But once we began living here, it's kind of like living here trained us to notice. We hear a reference to Rhode Island and our ears pop up, right? We go, wait, someone mentioned Rhode Island. It trained us to notice what we had not noticed all around us before. I suspect that the kingdom of God is kind of like that. It's kind of like Rhode Island. The more we live into it, the more we learn to see that it is showing up all around us. And so as we live in the meantime, what will the time tell about us? May we learn to truly be an Advent people, not just in these 4 weeks, but in all weeks. Not just once a year, but in all years. May the times that we live in, may this be a time, may it be the kairos of watching and waiting for by living in the light of God for which we are ever on the lookout. May we see the kairos of opportunities as we wait in the expectant hope of a future held in the promise of God. That even the minutes and hours, days and weeks and years of our life are defined and guided, right? Like the minutes and hours of children waiting through that curious time of Christmas Eve night, defined and guided, pulled along, formed and shaped by expectant hope that God has come and He is coming. May we live lives of watchful expectation. Besides this, the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, right after he speaks of lives marked by nothing less than owing love to one another as the fulfillment of the law, he says, besides this, you know what time it is. You know what kairos it is. The chronos might say differently, but the kairos is the same for us as it was for them. You know what kairos it is, how now it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us therefore lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, get dressed, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, beloved, will you look at the time? Let us expectantly put on the things of Christ's reign, the things of service and mercy and love, even as we wait. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us indeed walk in the light of the Lord. Amen.